Good morning. Welcome to South Haven Christian Church. On your way in this morning, you were handed a bulletin. Inside is our silent roll call card. If you're a guest, please follow that side that says guest and members the opposite side. Any prayer concerns or announcements, please fill it out on that yellow sheet of paper and then put it in the offering plate at the offering time. If everyone will please stand, we're going to begin worship by singing Praise the Lord the Almighty.
Things so wondrously reign. course, I find it convenient when Scott's on a cruise that they do all this stuff.
Scott's on this one? I knew he was going, but I didn't know what one.
He's gone now.
Is this his first?
I'm not sure. I think this is.
All right, let's come back to our seats here. Everybody can have a seat. All right, once a year, usually on the second Sunday in February, we do what we're doing today. You might ask, why do we do it on the second Sunday? Well, traditionally, the Super Bowl always fell on the first Sunday, and it was hard to get all that we needed to get done on that first Sunday. But because of COVID, I guess they added a week, and so everything got moved down a week. So we are recognizing our new ministry team leaders today. And then at 5 o'clock, again, hopefully no conflict of interest here, all our leaders, not teams, there's a confusion sometimes. People think the ministry teams are all meeting. No, just the leaders that we will recognize here this morning, because we got some material, notebooks, info that you need to have, and some things that we need to emphasize. So here in just a moment, we're going to be calling names. As soon as you hear your name, if you can just start making your way to the front, all right? And you can almost stand anywhere up here, because I think we'll fill this up, assuming that most of our leaders are here. I realize that some are not, but that's just the nature of the beast in this COVID season. People are in, out, some visiting, some vacationing, I guess, and so we'll see where it goes. I'm going to be reading right from the screen, as you will see up here. We have the names, and we're going to do one name at a time and recognize the ministry that they are part of. And again, as soon as you hear your name, if you can just start making your way to the front, because we'll quickly go down this list. So I introduce to you the members of South Haven Christian Church, our new ministry team leaders for 2022. It starts with Al Miles, Sr. And I know he's here. Is he still in the back there? Oh, he's right here. Oh. I'm always seeing him through the doors back there. I always see him through the doors. Now, Al's going to stay right there for a minute. I want you to just stay seated till the end, and then I want you to stand, and we'll have a prayer for everybody. But Al, you can see, are we not glad that Al's back with us? He is in charge of four ministries this year. How many were you in charge last year? One?
Two.
So see what happens in a year, and he becomes a deacon, and we double his workload. But he's going to be in charge of our baptism, cookie ministry, kitchen, and our shut-in ministry. Next, Gail Wilcott. I believe she's out traveling, actually. She'll be in charge of our card ministry. And then Sarah is, I think, probably back in class ministering, but she'll be in charge of our children's ministry, the library, and our resource room. Barbara Sissel is going to be in charge of our Christians in Action ministry. And next, Angie. Okay, Angie was there. I don't know. Angie's one that you may never see very much, but you see the evidence of her ministry for sure. This building is cleaned every week by Angie Gillespie, and she's in charge of that. Ginger, come on up, Ginger, one of our new ministers this year. She's going to be in charge of our coffee cafe. Luann Herring with our communion. She's behind me, I believe. Yes. Eric Hance, I believe, is out of town, but he'll be in charge of our facilities, security, and the church app. I don't know how many of you have been on the church app, but that is still a work in progress, and it's one of those behind the scenes, but a huge ministry that's going on because so many people are being blessed that can't be here to see our service. Bob's out of town traveling. Fellowship, he'll be in charge of our fellowship ministry, servers here on Sunday, and our shed ministry. Stacy Hance, traveling as well, in charge of our finance and sound and light ministry. Pat Doyle, is Pat here? Yes, Pat is going to be in charge of our flowers, and she has a long walk, but she's on her way up. Robert is somewhere here, yes, in charge of our greeters. Don Herring, in charge of our homeless ministry. Chico Carbajal, in charge of landscaping, mowing, and weed eating. And you can see that it's really a co-ministry on all three of those, Chico and Karen, taking co-leadership there. Yours truly, in charge of missions, new members, outreach, and prayer. Ministries here in the church. Music, Joey Sita, I thought he was behind me, but he's over to the side here. Julie Bowman, in charge of our nursery this year. Next, Judy Perry, long walk for Judy, but in charge of our prayer chain for this year. Prayer chain, okay. Maureen Paulson, I think. Excuse me, is behind me, and she's going to be in charge of the sign and marquee, and back it up one. What was the other? And the Woman of the Word ministry. Thank you. Next. Wayne Faggart is going to be in charge of our transportation, and Max Bowman, our youth. And is that our, and that's it. All right, now. How many ministries did we carry? I think we had almost 50 out, but this year we have 37 ministries that we'll carry. That is, we have a team, and we got a leader to lead it. So I know we don't have 37 up here, but we do have a good portion, and it's not one minister per ministry. Some, as you can see, are in charge of several, and but these are our leaders that are here today that we want to introduce to you, and we're going to pray over them here as they stand before you and ask God's blessing. They're going to serve from this Sunday to the last Sunday in January of 2023. We hope that you will keep these in your prayer, but as I've done in years past, I'm going to do it again today. It's one thing for me to ask you to pray for all of our leaders, but I'd like you to do one more thing, and it requires you to do it right now. I want you to look up here and look for one, someone you know, someone that you're familiar with, someone that you've seen in action maybe, someone new. I want you to look for just one. Don't get sidetracked and say, oh, I'm going to... Yeah, you can pray for all of them in a generic way, but I want you to pray very specifically for just one all year long. They don't need to know who it is. You can tell them you are, but I think that if each of us are trying to pick one leader and just say, this year I'm going to pray for that one person all year long, I think that leader will sense it and feel it and know it. But you got to do this now. You know, now I know there's a few that are not here, and if one of those names that I called out, I know the Wilcotts, the Hanses particularly, I know that they weren't, they're traveling here this week, but pick one out, if you will, and make a commitment now. That's the one I'm going to pray for all year long. Like you, to bow your heads now, I am collectively going to pray for all of them. And let's ask God's blessing upon our new leaders for 2022. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time on our church calendar, this one Sunday in February that we try to recognize our new leaders for the coming year. We thank you for each of them stepping up to the plate, each of them making a decision to serve 1 year, tour of duty, Father, for your church. We know that some ministries are very demanding, others not so demanding, but are needed. When not functioning, there is something missing. And so we pray that you'll be with each of our leaders, help them, Father, to have the wisdom that they need throughout the year. I pray that each will find assistance and help. We know that some start with a sizable ministry and others start with maybe one or two. But we pray that as our year grows and as it continues throughout 2022, we pray that there'll be more new ones that will be enlisted into service, Father, into one of the ministries that we need desperately here in our church. I pray, Father, that each one will feel a sense of empowerment through your Holy Spirit. I know that many are using the gift that your Holy Spirit has given to them. They have found their niche. They have found the ministry where they work best. And may they receive the joy and the happiness that comes from serving others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, let's thank them for being here. Y'all can have a seat now. Go ahead.
As we get ready for prayer, we're going to be singing, "There Is None Like You."
Search for all.
can see in the bulletin that Bob was to have our prayer this morning. And if you haven't heard, Gail's brother-in-law passed away this past week. And the Wilcotts and the Hanses have traveled to North Carolina for that funeral. So let's just keep them in our prayers, not only for the travel, but for Gail's sister's loss there. Allens are with us today, but I know they've been struggling all week long, and I'm glad to see that they're feeling just a tad better, probably. I saw them come in, but I know that they're still needing prayers here today to get fully back to normal, so let's keep praying for them. Sonny Mallard, we need to keep him in our prayers with the loss of his wife, Cindy, who's there to help. Let's pray for her strength. And let's take these to God in prayer here today. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this moment in our service that we can lift up a few of our members here in our church and a few needs that have come to our attention for this week. I do pray, Father, for the Wilcotts and the Hanses as they've been traveling here the last couple days to be part of a funeral service. We know Gail's sister has lost her husband. Not a total surprise because of his health condition, but nevertheless a loss. A hole that is there. I just pray that as they come together as family, as they come together to encourage and strengthen one another, that each would feel your presence. And the hole that I know that will be there, I pray that you'll begin to slowly fill, Father, with the presence of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, for the Allens today. Just pray that you'll continue to help them with some of their health needs and concerns at this time. I know they've not been feeling the best. And I know there was a scare about it being COVID. We thank you that it's not. But we know that this is still that time of the year, Father, when so many find themselves going through a cold or a flu or something, that they're still having to fight. And so we pray that you'll be with this couple and allow both to get stronger day by day. Father, I lift up Sonny Mallard here today. I know that the loss of a spouse is probably one of the hardest on any one person here on this earth when they've been together for so long. We've had several, Father, of late in our church have gone through that loss. And the grieving, Father, is very real. It's different from person to person, from family to family, but nevertheless, it's a real issue and a problem, and it takes time. It takes time to heal. And so I pray for all those who have lost loved ones, either here in our church or extended families that we're aware of. And I just pray for spouses, particularly today, Father, who have lost a spouse after many years. And to help them, Father, to process and to feel your presence and to get through a period of time that is very painful and hard. And I pray that they will draw strength, Father, that can only come from you during these very hard and difficult times for them. I pray for Eleanor Robbins here today, Father, and I know that she's had a plate full of health issues that she's been trying to tackle one by one, and
we just continue to pray that she can get through those and get stronger. And we miss her here at church, and pray that soon we'll be able to see her back among her brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for today, Father, and this opportunity to be in your house with your people, especially around your table. And we pray that you'll bless the rest of our service here today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Embrace. Good morning. Nice to see everybody here this morning on a sunny Florida day. I'd like to talk a little bit today about the love our Lord has for us. It's without compare. You remember when you were young? For some of us, it may be several years ago, but for others, not so long ago. When something bad happened to one of the people that we love the most, we wanted to take it back. I have several good examples myself, and I'd like to share a couple with you today. They're not from my childhood, but much more recent. I received a call one day from my sister-in-law, Jackie. Explaining that my brother, who I idolize and love very much, had been injured involving getting his hand caught in a hay baling machine. She didn't have any details at the time, only describing a bloody nub. I immediately broke down and asked God, please, let me take it back. Let it be me instead. He didn't inflict me with any physical wounds, but he healed Linton's hand and wrist, where there's little evidence left of the accident. Another time I asked our Lord to let me take it back was when my beloved sister, in our audience today, was transported by helicopter to Shands Medical Center with a dissected brain aneurysm. This began a journey including two open surgeries and a long road to recovery, which that road is still not ended. I prayed every day that I could take it back or help shoulder the burden. I was not given the burdens of these things to carry personally, but my prayers were answered. God returned my loved ones to me and my family. Psalm 81, 6 and 7 reads, I removed the burden from their shoulders. Their hands were set free from the basket. In your distress you called, and I rescued you. I answered you out of a thundercloud. This text is describing removing his followers from slavery of Egypt. But our Lord shoulders many burdens for his followers. I thank the Lord every day for his blessings and that he has shouldered so many burdens for us all. As we come to the Lord's table today, let us remember all the burden he has lifted from us through the forgiveness of our sins and continue to praise him for the many blessings he has given us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for your many blessings upon each of us today. The love you have for us is so powerful in that you gave the life of your only son, Jesus, to forgive our sins and shoulder that heavy burden so that we may one day walk with you in heaven. Thank you, Lord, excuse me, for allowing us to be present at the table to remember the sacrifice you made for us through your son, Jesus. It is in his name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. come to the time of our service for our offerings and prayers, I ask that we always remember that we do this with a grateful and loving heart, not out of necessity or that we feel we have to. And always remember that the Bible is full of thousands of promises. And one of them promises that God gives us is as we give, He will give it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and more abundant than what we give. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you at time of offering and tithes. We ask that you bless everybody. We ask that you give our leaders the wisdom and knowledge to use this money the best way possible to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of the rainbow, all the voices of the wind, every dream that reaches out, it reaches out to find where love begins. Every word of every story, every star and every sky.
With you, I invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hold it, put a sheet of paper there, and then turn over and find 2 Corinthians, same book, chapter 12. And have those two marked if you wish to read out of your own translations. Otherwise, I think they will be up on our screen here today, and you can follow along. That is, some people ask, what translation is that? That's the New International that you'll be reading from up on the screen if you want to do that. Jake and Dottie Singleton of Somerset, Kentucky, stood in their front yard just before dawn and watched their house literally burn to the ground. Minutes before, their 8-year-old son, Eddie, had been asleep inside that house. Jake had broken the ground floor window of that bedroom, reached in to Eddie's bedroom and pulled him out, wrapping him in the bed sheets that he had. Eddie had already been burned. Over 87% of his body. The fireman there said he looked like a little pile at his mother's feet. At first, they thought that he was dead. But he was breathing only 4 times a minute. When he exhaled, Only smoke would come out of his lungs. A day later, Jake and Dottie waited in a hospital ward at the Shriners Burn Institute in Cincinnati, Ohio, which treats severely burned patients from all over the world. Well known for their great miracle working procedures there. But the doctors at that facility said Eddie would not live. And if he did by chance, they said he'll never completely recover. It was now his parents' job to spend 12 hours a day in hospital rooms with little to do but worry and try to come to some understanding of what had just happened in their family life. How could a loving God allow such a thing to happen to a little boy like that? An innocent 8-year-old boy. Why would a good God allow him to suffer and go through the pain he had to go through? These were some of the questions that Jake and Dottie were wrestling with at that time. Perhaps some of you here today have asked similar questions when pain and suffering has come into your life. It comes in different ways. It's never the same for each person. But during that period of time, whatever caused it, maybe you were one of the ones who pointed a finger at God and blamed Him for the headaches and the heartaches and the accident or the loss that took place in your life. If you're like me, you long for some way to put it all together. You want some kind of answer to this puzzling issue of pain and suffering. And I do believe that God has given us just enough pieces of the puzzle to begin helping us to trust Him, even when we don't have all the information that we need before us. And because I do believe that we have just enough, I like to look at a few of those pieces here today. Today I'd like to look at two, and next week we'll look at two more. Two pieces of the puzzle that will begin to help us answer the question, why? Why would a good God, a loving God, allow pain and suffering in our world? The first piece is this: God allows suffering, pain and suffering, in order to alert us. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, a world without pain. Can you picture it? What would it look like? At first, the idea may sound very appealing to all of us. No more backaches, no more upset stomachs, no more throbbing sensations when the hammer misses the mark and hits the finger square on. No more sore throats, no more COVID. Pain and suffering has disappeared. Sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like heaven. Dr. Paul Brandt says with utter sincerity, we should thank God for all the pain we have in this world. Dr. Paul Brand works at a leprosarium in Carville, Louisiana. And he has spent most of his life among people with leprosy who are daily being destroyed because they have a defective pain system in their body. The word leprosy conjures up exaggerated images of stubby fingers, unulcerated wounds, missing legs and arms, and distorted facial features. Literature and movies such as Ben-Hur have conditioned us to view leprosy or Hansen's disease as one of the most cruel diseases imaginable. Hansen's disease, I believe, is cruel, but not at all the way other diseases are. It primarily acts as an anesthetic, numbing the pain cells of the hands, the feet, the nose, the ears, and the eyes. Not so bad, really, one might think. Most diseases are feared because of their pain and their suffering that you have to go through. What makes a painless disease, and that's what Hansen's disease is, a painless disease so horrible, you ask? For thousands of years, people thought Hansen's disease caused the ulcers on hands and feet and the face, which literally led to rotting flesh and loss of limbs. But mainly through Dr. Brand's research, it has been established that in 99% of those cases, Hansen's disease only numbs the pain cells, and that's it. The destruction to the flesh comes only as a result that there is no warning system in place. On one occasion, Dr. Brand tried to open the door of a little storeroom there at his facility, but a rusty padlock would not yield. He tried with all his strength and might to turn that key, but nothing happened. One of his patients, an undersized, malnourished 10-year-old boy, asked if he could try, and with a quick jerk of the boy's hand, he turned the key and unlocked that door. Dr. Brand was dumbfounded. How could this weak youngster, malnourished, tiny, outdo him? But then the doctor's eyes saw what had happened. There was a drip of blood there on the floor. And upon examining the boy's fingers, Dr. Brand discovered the act of turning the key had gashed a finger open to the bone. Skin, fat, the joint were all exposed. Yet this little boy was completely, totally unaware of what had happened. Stanley Stein went blind because of Hansen's disease. Each morning he would wash his face with a hot washcloth. But neither his hands or his face was sensitive enough to the temperature to warn him that he was using scalding hot water. Gradually over time, he destroyed his eyes simply with the daily washing of his face. Lou, a middle-aged Hawaiian man, is almost blind as well, but for a different reason. The surface of his eyes stopped signaling the irritation and the discomfort that called for blinking. And as his dull eyelids blinked less and less frequently, his eyes gradually dried up, and he almost lost total eyesight. To look at Jose, you would not think anything was wrong. He dressed in the latest fashions. But when Jose removed his shoes and socks, there was not even one nub where his toes should be. Just rounded stumps, which he walked on. The problem is his shoes are too tight. but he doesn't feel it. So he continues to wear down his toes by wearing shoes that are too small. A normal person would feel the pain, automatically begin to limp, and they would change the shoe size and give the toes more room to survive. But Jose could not feel the danger signs. A little baby daughter had just grown 4 teeth in her mouth. The mother, hearing her laugh and cooing in the next room, she went in to her expecting to find some new game the child had discovered, but instead she found that the baby had bitten off the tip of her finger and was playing with the blood, making patterns with the drips that were on the floor. You see, without pain, this little baby girl had lost the innate sense of self-protection. Now, folks, my point of mentioning all of these illustrations is to help us to see that pain, believe it or not, is really a gift. More of a gift from God to help us here in this life. A gift that nobody wants, of course, until they are without it. And then they pray for it. I do not say that all pain is good. Don't misunderstand me. Sometimes it gets out of control, yes. But even then, it is usually giving intense warning signals about a serious disease. Too often, the emotional trauma of that intense pain blinds us to this gift that God has given to all of us. When I break an arm and down bottles of aspirin to dull the throbbing, I usually forget to be grateful to God for the pain. But at that very moment, pain is alerting my body to the danger, mobilizing anti-infectious defenses around the wound and protecting me from further temptation of injury. Pain demands the attention, which is crucial, I believe, in this case, for my full recovery. As much as we may hate pain, we have to admit that it often serves, I think, a good purpose. It warns us when something goes wrong. The cause of the misery, rather than the pain itself, is the real problem. Pain is merely a symptom or a siren or a bell that sounds when a part of the body is in danger or undergoing attack. I might also add at this point that I think this is true. I've been talking more about physical pain. But I think this is also true, and the dynamics are the same when it comes to spiritual pain. And this is where Christians struggle so much, because when something happens in their life as Christians, they don't know how to process their relationship to a loving God, because they're dumbfounded. They're caught off guard. They don't realize that bad things can happen to all of us, even Christians. And yet God says, I'm there. I'm with you. I'll walk with you to the very end of this age. And thus the first piece, I think, of a puzzle that we need to start filling in is that God allows pain and suffering in order, I think, to alert us. But let me share a second piece of the puzzle. Again, it's not the full puzzle yet, but I think this one helps. And that is, God allows pain and suffering in order to direct us. When a person turns away from God, suffering often gets the blame. But strangely, suffering also gets the credit when people describe what redirected their lives, helping them to see life more clearly and cause their relationship with God to grow closer. It's always amazing to see that. And I think that would be true even here if we were to do a quick survey of people that had a problem in their life or a problem with God. What was it that brought you back to God? And many would just reference, it was a painful experience that got my attention. It drove me back to the church. It drove me to the Lord. And that's how it works many times. After a diving accident, many of us are familiar with this story, but we need to remind ourselves often of it. After a diving accident back in 1967, Joni Erickson was rushed to a Baltimore City hospital where a series of tests and operations were conducted on her. She was not that old at that time. But finally, the doctors told Joni that her injury was permanent. It would never change. You'll never walk again, and your arms will have very limited use. At first, Joni found it impossible to reconcile her condition with her belief, and she did have a strong belief in a loving God. The turning to God was very gradual for her, because she had put up a huge wall after the accident. A melting of her attitude from bitterness to trust dragged out over 3 long and fearful years and violent questions that she had to ask. While Joni was in the hospital, 2 friends from school came to visit her for the very first time. When they came into Joni's room and came to her bedside, their mouths just dropped open. I mean, she could see the countenance on their face. "Oh my God," whispered one of the girls. Shocked, they stood in awkward silence, and then they ran outside, both of them, at the same time. Joni could hear one girl vomiting, and the other sobbing outside her hospital door. And she wondered what in the world could be so horrible to cause such a reaction with 2 of her best friends. A few days later, she found out. Joni asked a visitor, Jackie, for a mirror. Jackie stalled. She did not want to do it, but Joni kept on insisting. Nervously, Jackie finally brought her one. Joni took one look in the mirror and screamed, "Oh God, how could you do this to me?" The person in the mirror had bloodshot eyes, sunken in dark cavities far back into her skull. Skin color had faded to a dull yellow. Her teeth were totally black from medication. Her head was still shaved with metal clamps on both sides. And her weight had shrunk from 125 pounds down to 80 pounds as she laid there in the bed. Joni cried on this moment. "Oh, Jackie, I need your help, please. Do me one thing, will you? I can't face it anymore." "What's that, Joni? I'll do anything for you." "Help me die, please. Help me die, Jackie. Bring me some pills. Bring me a razor blade. I can't live inside this grotesque body anymore. Help me die, Jackie, please." The turning point in Joni's life came the night that her closest friend, Cindy, after hearing Joni complain for so long, blurted out, "Joni, Jesus knows how you feel. You aren't the only one. You're not the only person who's ever been paralyzed. He was paralyzed too." And Joni glared at her. "What? What are you talking about?" And Cindy continued, "It's true. Remember, he was nailed to a cross. His back was raw from beatings, floggings, and he must have wanted for a way to move or to change positions or to redistribute his weight there on that cross. He was feeling pain. He was suffering. But he couldn't move. He was paralyzed by the nails." But believe it or not, that thought finally intrigued Joni. And for a moment, it took her mind off her own pain as she thought about her Lord's pain. Yet it had never occurred to her that God might have felt the same piercing sensations that now racked her body. And this idea was profoundly comforting to Joni. Instead of continuing to search for why the devastating accident occurred, Joni has been forced to depend more heavily on the Lord and to look for life and to look at life from a long-range perspective. Yes, Joni wrestled with God, but she did not turn away from God. She now calls her accident a glorious intruder and claims it was the best thing that ever happened in her life. You see, God used it to get her attention and to direct her thoughts to Him. Yes, Jake and Dottie Singleton wrestled with God over this tragic accident with their son Eddie. But through the months and the years, they did not turn their back on God either. Yes, they had their days. They had some tough ones. When Eddie first arrived, the doctor said he would not live, and then they said he would not walk again, and then they said he would never walk without a walker. But after 5 years and 40 operations, believe it or not, Eddie finally was able to play football and live a normal life. But through it all, that family was brought closer to God. I want to read two passages of scriptures. The first one is found Chapter 1, come down to verses 8 and 9. I want you to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul and then apply these two pieces of the puzzle just a bit and see if you do not see what the Apostle Paul saw. I'm looking at verse 8 and 9 of the first chapter there. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffer in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Turn over to chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. Paul continues to write. He says, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You need to go home with those two passages of Scripture. We may not fully relate to someone that has been through some of the events that I've described, but here Paul describes a lot of things that happened in his life. Insults, persecution, difficulties. You see, I believe that's where we all are. There's not a one of us here that has not suffered pain and suffering at some point in our life. Whether or not it has been so intense that it has knocked you off your feet or knocked you back, I'm not sure. But it doesn't matter. The principles are still the same. God has said, "I'm here. I'm with you." Pain is not a bad thing if it directs, if it helps us to realize that God's going to help us through this or bring us back. So picture in your mind here this morning as we depart, picture in your mind, what is it that either has caused the pain or suffering, or what is causing the pain or suffering even today? And then read these two verses of Scripture and realize God is good. God's going to be there for you. Maybe he's trying to alert you. I got a call. I'll close with this. I got a call from somebody that I know well. Not a Christian, though. So I was surprised when I got the call because he was asking for spiritual help. And he began to describe some of the pain, some suffering that he's going through. Man, it's so fresh. It came this week. It came after I had already decided what I was going to preach on today. So I sat there and I listened for a few minutes. And when he was done, I said, "Isn't it interesting? You're not a Christian. You're not in church. You barely know that there is a God. And yet the pain in your life caused you to pick up a phone and call
someone religiously, spiritually, and you ask that person for help. There it is. That's how it works. So don't be surprised when someone calls you and says, I need help. And they'll tell you their story. They'll say that someone passed away, or someone died, or someone has been in a terrible accident. They say that they may not live, and I'm hurting. Be ready. Because if you understand that principle that God alerts us, and then He does try to direct us a little bit, it's coming. You're going to have opportunities. A huge door opened up to me that I didn't even see coming because of pain and suffering in someone else's life, not mine, their life. As we come to our time of invitation today, which we have each Lord's Day, if there's someone here that's outside of Christ, that's what this is all about. We don't apologize for an invitation to this church. We think it's needed. We never know during a week when someone might be struggling. It might be through a pain and suffering moment in their life that they realize, I need something more than what I have. Maybe I need some extra power and strength that can come from a source outside of myself. And sometimes they're very open to understanding or finding out, how do I get saved? I need help. If you're here today and you need to make that kind of decision, we encourage you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this hymn of decision.
Oh, to Him I freely
crowd here today. We're kind of listing over to this side, so I'm going to stand over on this side to kind of balance this out a little bit here. How's it feel over there? Good? Yeah. Doesn't that look good over there? Yeah, it looks good over there. I'll feel it. It's a little tail, you know, heavy. We need to get this section up here a little fuller, but anyway, you know, on these COVID Sundays, as I call them, we're in a COVID season, but hopefully winding down. I just pray to God we're winding down. Hopefully we're getting more back to normal than meets the eye. And it's good to start seeing people coming back and people wanting to get involved. So I'm looking forward to a grand year, in spite of what it looks like right now as we start. I know we're still a little concerned, but I think things are going to hopefully get better as the year goes on. I pray for it, and I hope you are too. It's good to have a good crowd today. It's good to have some guests with us, sharing with us, both out of state and in town, and we're glad that you can come and share with us today. And we hope that if you're not part of a church, that perhaps you'll come back and share with us again next Lord's Day. In the bulletin, we hope that all of you received. There is on the back sheet of that bulletin, there are some announcements of things that are coming, a calendar to help you kind of note it. The big one, of course, is for all of our ministry team leaders at 5 o'clock here today. Back in our fellowship hall, we hope that you'll be there for the one meeting that we usually have a year. And it's not like we ask you every month to be back there, but please come and pick up your notebooks. Let us discuss a few things that will get you started off on a good foot. Christians in Action, the sign-up is now in the back, in the foyer, if you plan to be part of that at the end of the month. It always does help to call ahead, especially in a few of these restaurants that their space is limited, so that we can kind of give them an idea of how many we're bringing on that Sunday. And they do try to accommodate and help us to have that room when we show up, hopefully based on the sign-ups. And so if you can help us, that goes a long way. Any other announcements that we need to make here today?
All right, we'll start right back here with Don.
Well, I was worried about not having enough bags, but when they came through this week, I've got a lot of bags.
Wow. Wow. Wait. Can you define a lot?
I got my 5 pallets. I didn't have until I come here this morning. I was going to run the public afterwards, and they started hitting them. So, anyhow, so, and anybody else, if nobody's going to show up at Privy Hope, let me know. If you're going to be there, let me know also.
So nobody's called a bag?
No, I call it nice ladies.
Nice ladies. They're bag ladies, and they always have to be nice ladies. All right.
Well, now, if they're sheer of glory.
Yeah. I made sure.
I know.
All right, for our guests, bags are plastic bags that our homeless ministry uses, and we were challenged to supply. How many a month?
At least 5,000.
We need 5,000 bags a month, so that's a tall order. And how many churches are doing this? How many churches bring in bags? Yeah, but do they bring bags?
We're the only ones that bring bags.
We're the only one that brings them back. So just realize that I don't want anybody to say, well, you know, there's no ministry in my church that I can be part of. You can be part of the bag ministry. You know, if nothing else, when you go to Walmart or wherever, just say double bag it, and you know, and you're helping us with bags. All right, so. Thank you very much. All right, Barbara, your hand was up.
Yeah, if anybody wants a CIA shirt, tell me because I have plenty.
All right, a CIA shirt. Traditionally, they tend to wear those on the Sunday that we go to the dinner. Not that you have to, but I just see a lot of rich. Are they all red? Are they still red? Yes. I see red shirts in a restaurant when we're there, and I also put that shirt on. So that has CIA, Christians in Action,
written on it. So keep that in mind if you will. All right, my spirit.
Women of the Word is going to be happening this Saturday here at the church from 1 to 3. All ladies are invited for it. And when you get together and have lunch, you can bring something or not. And we have a little Bible study. And I do not have a sign-up sheet because our unofficial Women of the Word secretary was a little under the weather this month. That's Alan. So we're just going to count on all of you showing up on Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Okay. The unofficial. All right. Any other announcements? Oh, I see Judy, do you have an announcement you want to make or what?
Birthdays.
What? You have a birthday?
No,
two birthdays. You're pointing like this.
Oh, I'm too quiet.
You're fine. Well, who are you pointing to over here? There's a big crowd over here. Tammy.
Tammy!
Did you think you were going to sing mine?
No,
Tammy's birthday. And who are you pointing over here? Chico? You pointing at Chico? Oh, Juanita back here. All right, Juanita back there. So here we got two. We got Al back in full swing of the turn too. So let's sing happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday
to you. And many more. I just know you can't do that in big churches, so we're still a small church. We can get away with those things and all great birthdays and anniversaries. So,
you wonder why my mic goes off and on. Well, you don't want to hear me sing. I don't want to get you all off tune, you know, so just keep that in mind. All right, thank you for reminding me on that. Anything else? Any final words or comments? Going once, going twice. Thank you all for all being here today.
Let's stand. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for a beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house with your people around your table here today. And as we depart now as your people, we need your power and strength. We know that there are people in the world, Father, that are suffering. We know there are people in our neighborhoods, maybe even in our own families, that are going through a period of pain and suffering. May we be able to go and help, assist, encourage, build up, challenge, and remind many of these people that there's a God in heaven who loves every one of us so much that he sent his son Jesus into the world to save us all. Give us those opportunities, those open doors. Protect us from the evil one. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing chorus here today, The Family of God.